Well, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. It's late in the evening on Thursday, June 30th. It's soon to be July 1st. Flip over the league year.
Is it July 1st, 2025 at this point? This day felt like it was like 5 days.
It's almost 11 o'clock, but it feels like 4 a.m. to me. I'm not going to lie. This would not be good because that's what I'm getting up tomorrow. That's Tim Bontemps, who's with me in New York. We were in the ESPN studios all day. Joining us from Dallas, Texas, is Ben McMahon.
Saw a lot of Ben McMahon on the TVs there at Seaport Studios. I kept walking by, saw Ben McMahon doing TV. It was good to see.
Can you shut up before I get a howdy partners out?
I'm trying to stay awake, buddy.
Let me make my proper introduction. Howdy partners.
I was trying to give you credit. I'm trying to stay awake.
Well, whatever you're sipping on ain't going to help.
Just some iced tea, man.
All right. So we had a lot of signings, but that's not the story, obviously. Thought this was possible. Wasn't sure that Kevin Durant was going to go through with it. I think a lot of people felt that way. He makes the trade demand. Seems like the Nets are going to acquiesce, but the way they acquiesce will be the story probably of the offseason. There's a lot happening right now. As you can imagine, a lot of the league is going to be affected by this. However this deal goes down, whenever it goes down, there's going to be side deals that happen, tremors off of the main quake, reverberations, fallout, etc.
Think back to 2019 when Kawhi Leonard changed teams. It's the last time somebody this caliber changed teams in this manner. It's going to be a similar impact this time around.
As we sit here tonight, my feel is that this eventually could be a multi-team trade. Just whatever it takes to Durant. But that could change. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit. First off, you know, I don't really want to rehash what happened in Brooklyn. There's a lot of time for that. I don't think we've talked about it a lot. I don't think it's particularly useful unless either of you are like dying to get a takeoff about that.
I just think we've had a couple of years to get our takes off on that.
I think we could just say it pretty simply. We're here because of 2 days. The day the Nets sent Kyrie Irving away from the team because he wouldn't get a vaccine shot, and the day they brought him back to the team before he got a vaccine shot. That's all it's come down to. Everything else is window dressing, but that's why we're here, and that's all we need to say.
Okay, so let's look forward here. The Nets are going to make two moves almost certainly, one to send out Kyrie and one to send out Durant. It's possible they could be connected, but it's too early to really tell that. Phoenix is, you know, I got to say something about the sports books. There's some people in the sports books who are getting good information, or at least the bettors are getting good information, because last week we saw the betting change with Paolo Banchero 24 hours before he got drafted number one. Early this week, Phoenix moved towards the front of the odds to win the title or win the West. And it was about the time when I was hearing that Durant was going to ask for a trade, and I was hearing that Phoenix was where he wanted to go. And I was like, hot damn, these guys are on it again. And I didn't know if it was going to – I didn't know whether Durant was going to actually do it. And, you know, Kevin sometimes can change his mind on things. So Phoenix is the place where he wants to go. I feel reasonably confident of that. I think Miami is second. What I'm not confident over, Bontemps, is that Phoenix is going to be able to give Brooklyn what they want. And I'm also not confident that in what Brooklyn is going to prioritize, either how the leverage is going to work. So let me ask you this. How do you think the leverage is going to play out here with Durant and especially wanting to go to Phoenix?
I think Kevin Durant's going to be a Phoenix Sun. And here's why. I think when you look at these trades, there's a nexus point between what the player wants and what the team wants, right? Now, obviously, the Nets are putting up a front. They're going to do whatever they want in this trade and get whatever they want. Because as you love to say all the time in all sorts of situations, this is a negotiation, right? It's a negotiation on a lot of fronts. It's been one of the most complicated and consequential negotiations in the history of the NBA. But when you look at this situation right here, Kevin Durant would like to play for the Suns. We all can agree on that. the Phoenix Suns also have a lot of stuff the Brooklyn Nets would want. They're not going to get Devin Booker in this trade, and we'll get to that why in a minute. But they've got Mikal Bridges. They've got DeAndre Ayton they could put in a sign-and-trade. They've got Cam Johnson. Three young, good, controllable players. Mikal Bridges in particular on one of the best contracts in the league. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the Phoenix Suns have every control of every single draft pick they have for the next 7 years. As we know, and as you've written about a bunch of times, Brian, that is the currency of making these kinds of trades. So you look around at these other teams, that places where Kevin Durant might want to go. Miami doesn't have many picks. Outside of Bam, their package is pretty suspect in terms of getting a guy like KD. Mm-hmm. The Lakers, they don't have the package to get
real KD. Quick, they can't trade KD for Bam anyway, right now.
Unless Ben Simmons because is off
the roster. They have to move Ben. They can't have Ben Simmons and Bam on the team. They can't have Ben Simmons and...
Do you want to explain that real quick, why?
Yeah, so you can't have two designated players. To make a long story short, you can't have two designated players on your team that you acquired by a trade.
Explain what a designated player is?
Guys on five-year max contracts off their rookie deals. You can't have two of them. You can have one guy on your team that you drafted and one guy on your team that you traded. And they and the Nets obviously would have two that they traded for. Mm-hmm. So, but even still, you look around these other teams, the Lakers, all the other, you know, the Warriors aren't trading for them. The Bulls don't have much to trade. They're not trading to the Knicks. So you kind of check off the normal, like, big
market.
Well,
the Lakers could trade Anthony Davis for him.
They could trade Anthony Davis for him, but to me, if I'm the Nets, I would rather have a package of a bunch of picks and young, controllable players.
All right, we'll just acknowledge that they could
trade. Sure, they could trade Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. Sure, they could do that. I don't think that is a trade that they're going to do. So, to me,
2027, 2029, you know?
I think they
could get something going if they were determined to, I think.
Perhaps. I think the Suns fit that nexus. And the other thing to go back to real quick, let's go back to 2004, the similarly consequential trade. Shaquille O'Neal gets traded from the Lakers to the Heat. The Lakers go to the Heat then and said, hey, we want Dwayne Wade. Heat say, we're not trading Dwayne Wade under any circumstances. Coming off his rookie year, they see he's going to be a superstar. They don't want to move him. The Lakers come back to the Heat a couple days later, say, all right, we would like to do this for Lamar Odom. Kobe'd like to play with Lamar. We'd like to have Lamar on our team. The Heat had spent years trying to get Lamar Odom on their team. They just had a great run, second round of the playoffs. Dwayne was a rookie. Looked like they were a team ascending in the Eastern Conference. But the Heat knew.
Hadn't they just signed Lamar Odom to a contract?
Yes.
Hadn't they just signed?
I think he was on the team the year before, I believe, when Dwayne was a rookie and they went to the second rounder, Stan Van Gundy. But they looked at it and said, we have to give up something to get Shaq. Lamar Odom's going to be the centerpiece of the trade. And it ended up being Lamar Odom, Caron Butler, in a first-round pick. Brian Grant was in it. There was a couple other things involved. But essentially, draft compensation, two really good young players. That, I think, is the basic package you're talking about here. Really good young players, which the Suns have, and a ton of draft picks, which the Suns have. So to me, that's why with Kevin wanting to go there and the Suns having at least the kinds of things you need to get these trades done, I think that's why this is going to end up happening one way or the other.
But you've got the Nets saying, hey, we let you guys run this franchise for 2 years, and now we find ourselves in this situation. You've got 4 years left on your contract. Why does Kevin Durant get to determine which teams they're negotiating with? And it's a lot of huffing. It's a lot of puffing. We've been down this road before. It's always been with guys, though, who had 1 year left on their contract or 2 years left on their contract, 4 years left. Why, if you're the Nets, what's stopping you from, for example, calling the Pelicans and saying, hey, let's start with Brandon Ingram and a whole ton of picks. You got Lakers, you know, Lakers pick and swaps. You got Bucks picks and swaps. You got all your own picks moving forward. You know, throw in some filler to make the money work. Maybe, some of the promising young players, whatever. What's to stop the Nets from doing something like that and saying, hey, you want to go to Phoenix, but we think we can get a better deal. And I'm using New Orleans as an example of a team where, you know what, what's the best chance that Pelicans have of putting together a contender, taking a huge swing like this? Why, when you're making these trades, do you get all these
It's a Kawhi
picks?
Leonard type trade, except for you get the player for 4 years, not one.
Exactly. So, and if you're Sean Marks, I'm sorry, you owe Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving absolutely nothing. You don't owe them. they're owed what's left on their contract. But as far as them dictating the business of the Brooklyn front office, what's in it for the Nets? And the Nets are in this position where, you know, typically you're forced to trade a superstar of this caliber. Okay, let's strip it down and go into rebuild mode. Well, damn, can't do that because all of your draft capital for the foreseeable future is owned by the Houston Rockets, who suddenly come out of the James Harden trade smelling like roses.
Okay, well, so
go ahead.
Let me just so here's a basic tenet about trading star players, and it doesn't apply to every star player trade, but to go along with what Bontemps said earlier. If you're going to trade for Kevin Durant, you're going to trade for him because you think you can win a championship, mm-hmm. probably in the very short-term future. Ideally, you'd like to be contending it right then.
Because, by the way, Kevin Durant, while he is signed for 4 years, is 34 and has had a bunch of injury issues the past
year. That's right. The big difference between
not Kawhi minimizing and the talent of Kevin Durant, but that right. those are factors here.
The difference between Kawhi and Durant is that Kawhi was vastly younger, although coming off an injury.
And the other difference, too, is that the Toronto Raptors ultimately didn't pay a very heavy price for Kawhi Leonard.
That's fine, because that was a one-year deal, not four. So typically, you're gonna want to have other stars on your roster, or at least one other star on your roster. And if you have to trade that star to get the other star player, you've defeated the purpose. You talked about the Shaquille O'Neal situation. If they had traded Shaq for Dwayne Wade, they maybe move the ball down the field a lot, but not what they're looking for. And this is typically what happens in star player trades. You rarely get the prime package if the prime package is a player.
Right.
If the prime package is a pick, sometimes you will get that. Or if it's a nice piece, but it's not the team's best player, you can get that. And this is why Bill Simmons has talked about this. Bill Simmons he coined a phrase. He would say, in the NBA, four quarters doesn't make a dollar. And this is what happens a lot of times with star trades. You take a star, the dollar, trade him for four quarters, but it's not the same. It's not the same. So historically, the Nets have an uphill battle here, trading a star, because the team that acquires them, like, you know, in the case of the Suns, first off, before the night is over, Devin Booker is going to sign, or at least commit to a brand new Supermax contract for $213 million. He will not be able to be traded, and right. they wouldn't trade him, because if they trade Devin Booker for Kevin Durant, they're not really closer to a title. Maybe Durant's a little bit better than him at the top of his game, but they're not closer. It's not a trade that is productive. And, you know, you can go throughout the league and you're not going to find that. So even more than the fact, you know, because I see people saying, well, Durant just won't go. He won't report. You know, he'll just say, I refuse to go.
Okay.
I mean, no, he'll have to go, but the team may be soured on because they, so McMahon, you do bring up an interesting point in New Orleans. Now, maybe I haven't thought about this enough. I mean, we're still processing it. It's just really been a few hours. We have to talk to all of our sources. I've talked to some, but I haven't done a full vet. I do think New Orleans is an interesting situation because mm-hmm. they could trade something that I would ask for Brandon Ingram.
Right.
I think Bontemps on TV or something we were doing today, you said you asked for Zion. Is that right, Bontemps?
Not me.
Oh, I'm with somebody you. Else who said
that. I would ask for Ingram.
I think Ingram is actually a decent facsimile of Kevin Durant. He's not as good, but they're similar type.
He's not as good, but you were trading for him. You know, he hadn't even hit his prime yet. Certainly a lot easier to make the money work there. You know, I throw in Larry Nance, and then it's just you are trying to get a historic haul of picks. And again, they have the 2024 Lakers. They've got two future Bucks, still a Lakers swap. I think a couple Bucks swaps and all of their own picks. I mean, they right. could put together a massive package right. of picks.
So now the thing about it is you would have to, I think, kind of sell Durant on being excited to go there. Now, I would just say that,
you can show them all those Zion pregame dunks from last year.
When they traded for CJ McCollum at the trade deadline, I know CJ put on a good face, but I think when he heard the initial idea, he didn't love the idea of going to New Orleans. That's what I've been told. Mm-hmm. And then he had an opportunity to spend time with people in the organization and take a better look at what the Pelicans actually had, and within a short period of time was completely turned around on it. And not only was comfortable going there, but was like excited about going there. And I think there's a decent chance that in this short term future here, he might even get in a contract extension. And so I don't know, maybe whatever was said by David Griffin, members of the organization or whatever, maybe that could be applied to Durant. Right now, I see that as sort of a dark horse possibility, because that, no one's told me that, just to be clear, but that
right.
They have the kind of package that could satisfy it.
You're just looking at the players they have, and we have, you know, they've got a bunch of intriguing young players, Herb Jones, all the other young picks.
I would want Herbert Jones.
Right. I mean, they've got a lot of guys who Brooklyn could ask. You could put together a very intriguing package, and I think have the Pelicans vault into legitimate contender status with, big asterisk, a healthy Zion.
But there's something else I want to bring up. And I like to say this a lot. A three-team trade is a no-team trade. I hear all the time, three-team trades. In the last 5 days, I've heard like four or five three-team trades that were interesting. You know, one of them was involving your Rockets, McMahon. And it would have been very interesting, an interesting trade. And it died. And how close was it? Was it on the 37-yard line? Was it on the its own two-yard line? I don't know. But three-team trades are no-team trades. Okay, that's my belief, and I say it for a reason. However, there are scenarios where I think Phoenix might be able to take what they have to offer, offer it to another team to pick up potential assets, mm-hmm. and then swing those assets over to Brooklyn that might be more appropriate. I do think in this situation where so many teams may try to get involved in that bond attempts, but that is not out of the realm of possibility and probably what it might take, because I don't think Brooklyn is absolutely in love with what Phoenix has got to offer.
No, I'm not saying it's the perfect package. If it was, it'd be done already. Right. Like it's not perfect, but again, like to McMahon's point, you could just send Kevin Durant anywhere, but if you're giving up 14, whatever, name the ridiculous number of picks you want to do to make this happen. Right. If you're doing that kind of trade, if you're the Pelicans, it's one thing if you know the guy wants to be there. It's another if you got to try to sell him on the idea of being happy there. Like, it's just, it adds several levels of headache to a deal where you're obviously putting everything on the line to make that kind of trade. And so, like I said, to me, I just think when you line these things up across the board, I think there's just, to me, the Suns are the one team that could get in the game here that has real trade assets that make sense to go to Brooklyn. And like you said, Brian, might end up having to turn some things into other things, but still, they are the one team where Durant wants to go there. They have a ton to trade. And when you look at these scenarios and how they tend to play out, I think that's why I think he's going to end up there. Because look, if they didn't have anything and it was just like, well, let's say his list was the Lakers and Clippers. Like, okay, then I could maybe see it being a little more of a, well, I don't know where he might wind up because it's not realistic to go to these teams or the Lakers or Bulls or whatever, like teams that just don't have a ton to trade in big markets.
You said this to me earlier. I want you to have full credit for this. The Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN just did a story with inside access to the Suns, where a big part of the story was how they don't really care that much about the draft.
That's correct. If you're the Phoenix Suns and you don't care about the draft, trade your draft for Kevin Durant.
Throw them all, all the picks, all the swaps.
Why not?
So when you look at the trade package, you're like, boy, I don't know, Miles Bridges, Cam Johnson. Keep in mind that
trade for Miles right now.
Apologies, it's been a long day. Mr. Miles Bridges,
long day for him too.
Did not get a deal on the first day, and I don't think he's going to get one on the second day. You know, Mikal Bridges, who is the epitome of the type of player that Sean Marks says he wants. But, you know, you have to think about the draft compensation too. And not only if they have it, but, you know, that draft compensation could be used for other players that Brooklyn could end up wanting.
Well, and it's so critical because Brooklyn controls none of their own picks.
That's right.
Through, well, I forget the exact year, but what, 2028?
I think it's the next 4 years. Is it the next four years?
It's at least the next.
So I think six. I think they still owe 2 unprotected picks and 3 unprotected swaps.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we talk about Kyrie Irving, I want to talk about the Miami option, which is sort of Durant's second option, as far as I've been told.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Ah, that sound has to make you smile. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to around the globe. Reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Synchronize your online and in-person sales. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is possibility, powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/hoop, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/hoop right now. Shopify.com/hoop.
Because of the designated player, they can't trade Bam Adebayo unless they trade Simmons in a separate deal, which now we're talking about 3-team trades or a humongous trade to Miami, which I don't like the chances of either. The primary assets in this deal that you'd basically be leading with if you were Miami are Tyler Hero, sixth man of the year, Max Strus, quality prospect, Duncan Robinson, signed for 4 more years.
This is why I keep saying he's not going to Miami. They just do not have enough to get in the game.
Miami can offer 3 first round picks, but before they do that, they have to make a separate deal with Oklahoma City.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not close.
So, I mean, I don't see Brooklyn wanting Jimmy Butler. I don't see Brooklyn wanting Kyle Lowry unless it's part of a deal to get other players that they're very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can put a trade into the trade machine to make it work.
You have to get Sean Marks' approval to actually make the trade happen.
If his list was one team long and it was Miami, to McMahon's point earlier, then I'd be talking to New Orleans and lots of other teams because Miami just doesn't have what it takes to get a Kevin Durant trade done. I can't imagine how that would happen.
All right, let's talk about Kyrie Irving.
Well, one other quick question. Getting back to the Suns, do we think the DeAndre Ayton restricted free agency is on hold because of the KD situation?
I think a bunch of league business is now going to be on hold. If you don't already have your contract or you're not a sort of a
secondary I think we're in the same position we were in 2019 when, if you guys remember, on July 1st, a whole bunch of stuff happened. You know, Al Horford signed, a bunch of things happened, and then there was 4 or 5 days where we waited for what Kawhi Leonard was going to do. And in that 4 or 5 days, there were like 2 signings, and nothing happened. And then when Kawhi chose to go to the Clippers, then the Paul George trade happens, and a bunch of other stuff happened. I think we're in a similar pause as we wait to see what happens here with Kevin Durant, because everybody's going to wait and see, can we get in the game for Kevin Durant? And as Brian said, until that deal happens, or when that deal happens, or, you know, as it's happening, there's going to be all these ripple effects that are going to sweep up into these other teams too.
And I think Kyrie is going to be one of them, because my guess would be that they're going to wait and see what they get for Durant before they consider what they're going to get for Kyrie. I guess it's possible they could be involved in the same trade. I mentioned earlier that somebody had floated to me the possibility that if they were going to be traded together, if Kevin and Kyrie still wanted to play together, which I don't know the answer to that. My feel is that that is not the case. But if they still wanted to be together, I'm not even going to keep talking about it.
If they still want to be together, man, KD is the most loyal dude as far as friendships go in the history of the world.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, trade him to Denver so they can reunite with DeAndre. My goodness.
We got DeAndre Jordan in. I was waiting to see how we were going to do it, and we got him in.
Bravo, DeAndre got
a job. No, I think he'll be a good fit in Denver, certainly off the floor.
All right. So Kyrie, I don't think it's going to take much to get Kyrie. I don't think the cost is going to be much, with the exception.
This ain't the KD sweepstakes. Kyrie, I don't think the market will be quite as intense.
The problem is he makes $36 million. So you're going to have to trade quite a bit to get there. What we don't know is what will come back in the Kevin Durant trade, and how that's going to affect the salaries that the Nets have. Dumping salary may be something that the Nets want to do in this trade, or maybe something that's not as important, and they might be willing to take on salary if you're willing to entice them with a draft pick. So it's kind of hard to 100% read where Kyrie is going, but just start. Like, I thought the Mavericks would be a team that would have interest in Kyrie and McMahon. You say,
well, no. Listen, I have heard that the Mavericks were in the, you know, kind of, I'll say, doing due diligence. I ran it by somebody who has some, you know, some influence with the Mavericks, and got a profane reply. In the shooting it down, I don't always believe.
Sometimes you don't find things believable, and maybe this is still a lie, but I find it plausible that that could be a reaction.
Well, and let me just, you know, this is total hypothetical, but I don't think that there is going to be much of a market for Kyrie. What if the Mavericks could flip the two contracts that Washington kind of dumped on them from the Porzingis deal, and, you know, a pick, something like that, a pretty underwhelming return.
I will say, because you're talking about Davis Bertans
and Dinwiddie, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie's no longer a negative contract. That was the perception when he left Washington. I think it is now.
By the way, I think they need Dinwiddie, but
who, the Mavericks?
Yeah,
unless they have Kyrie.
Well, you want to trust Kyrie? I wish you good luck.
Well, but this, I, McMahon brings up a good point, though, because I think to McMahon's point, with Kyrie Irving, normally you want guys who are talented like Kyrie Irving on long-term contracts. The fact that Kyrie has opted into this expiring deal, and it, to your point, Brian, it's a very large expiring deal. In a lot of ways, you have to look at this like Russell Westbrook. Now, Kyrie is a way better player right now than Russell Westbrook, but it's from the standpoint that, if you're a team like Dallas, what do you have to lose making a trade like that, from the standpoint that if it doesn't work, okay, say Kyrie comes there, it's a disaster, you send him home 2 months into the season. Then you have 2 or 3 months before the trade deadline with a $36 million expiring contract,
right,
that you can then reroute for other stuff. It isn't like he's on a $180 million deal.
You're out of pick. And, you know, I think if it starts being multiple picks, then the price is too high. But you're out of pick. But you've financially, it's a great deal for the Mavericks. You know,
that's why you want to see when you're Brooklyn, whether or not they're willing to take on money. Because, you know, people have floated Miami for Kyrie, and I've seen Duncan Robinson floated in there. Well,
right.
Maybe Brooklyn doesn't want 4 years of Duncan Robinson in a Kyrie trade. Maybe they want to clean their books. And what I'm getting towards is, you know what I'm getting towards. I'm getting towards a team that wants Kyrie, that Kyrie wants, and has a one-year contract.
Hey,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So the thing about a Westbrook trade is it would clean the books. not clean the books, but it would be off the books in 1 year. Now, it is $11 million more. And if the Nets are, again, let's see what happens in the Durant trade. If they make the Durant trade and they are in the tax, taking on $11 million more for Russell Westbrook ain't going to be
almost,
too palatable.
I mean, almost no matter what the Nets do, they're going to be very expensive, because just to trade Durant, you have to take back a lot of money. So they're going to be, after the Durant trade, they're going to be expensive anyway. And that's what I keep, we've talked about this a bunch today off the pod. What I keep saying about this Westbrook thing, it would be exponentially expensive for the Nets to do that trade with Russell Westbrook, because it's not just the $11 million difference. You're also talking about like way into the tax multipliers of money there. So it,
well,
and it's a complicated thing.
Well, let me just say this. Let me just get this out. I want to get the dynamics of this out. So Westbrook makes $11 million more. Okay. Mm-hmm. If here's something else that's important to understand, Kyrie Irving has a trade bonus of $5.5 million. Thank you very much. I will take $5.5 million on my way to Teterboro. Now,
by the way, I believe the team that trades Kyrie, the Nets, pays, I believe.
That's correct.
That's right.
So if you're the Nets and you're looking at, man, we have to take $11 million extra on if we get Westbrook. But if you send Kyrie to LA, you may be able to say to him, Kyrie, how about you waive that trade bonus? Mm-hmm. He might do that. So all of a sudden, you're
$11 million. He wasn't going to leave $30 million on the table, but he might leave $5.5 million.
Okay. Well, you say we're not trading to LA. I mean, this is what happened to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis left a trade bonus on the table. So if he did that, now all of a sudden, the difference in actual, in the salary difference is now cut in half. Now, the $11 million that goes to the Lakers, okay? I talked about this on the pod on Monday. That in actual money is like $25 or $30 million because the Lakers are in the tax. So in addition to the extra actual salary, you'd have to, you'd save $11 million that you would have to pay Kyrie, plus you save the tax dollars. So now if you're the Lakers, you're looking at saving $25, $30 million on this deal. Now, for a team like the Clippers, $25 or $30 million, it's not something that causes Steve Ballmer to pause. For the Lakers,
I don't know why you keep talking about the dollar savings here. The Lakers are desperate.
You don't know why I keep talking about it?
The poor small market Lakers.
Excuse me, my good friend. That there's six bus children, and if you save $30 million, let's do the math. That's an extra $5 million for each bus child. That matters in L.A.
Yes.
Well, plus the Rams is get a cut.
I understand that. My point is
So hold on, please. So why does the saving the $30 million matter to the Lakers? Because the money matters there. And if you tell them that you're saving $30 million, that changes the arithmetic on whether they will be willing to include that first.
You know what changes the arithmetic on being willing to add the picks? Because Russell Westbrook is a disaster and Kyrie Irving is way better than him, even with all the other baggage that comes with
him. I know, Timothy, but in Los Angeles, you got to start with the money. You really start with the money.
If I'm Rob Pelinka, and I'll charm up the buses and I say, hey, Sean Marks, let's get it closer to even money. We'll let you go ahead and throw Seth Curry in on that deal. We'll take Seth off your hands. We'll take one of the best shooters in the NBA.
I'm trying to explain how the Lakers would justify giving a first round pick. And
how they justify it is they would get rid of Russell Westbrook and bring back Kyrie Irving. It's their one chance to turn
Russell Westbrook into a good player. And here's what they would say. Brooklyn, where are you trading Kyrie? Do you have 11 offers? Because if you get 11 offers, we may have to offer a pick.
They have exactly zero offers of anything good for Russell Westbrook.
Which is why, they have nothing. They might have no good offers for Kyrie Irving too. Which is why they might say, you can send them out here, and maybe we'll give you a second. So anyway, I'm not getting into the details, but
the Nets would rather just send them home. Like that's the thing. Like if the Lakers could get Kyrie Irving in a Russell Westbrook trade, I'm pretty sure they'll do whatever it takes to get him. Remember, there was one team that was willing to do a sign and trade for Kyrie Irving. That was the Lakers. Why? Because the Lakers were desperate. They're still desperate.
Because LeBron wants it done.
Well, that's part of the reason. The Lakers are desperate. They're just as in that situation, the Lakers are the desperate team. Because it's their one chance to be a contender this year.
If they have no other offers, Kyrie could ask for a buyout and the Lakers get him for the freaking minimum.
Well, they could ask for a buyout, or the Nets could just have them chill and have an expiring contract turn into stuff. Like, the Lakers don't have the bar. I just don't believe the Lakers have the bargaining chip here that you think they do. The Lakers are stuck.
Oh, Tim, I'm just arguing where I think the negotiation is going to go. Okay.
I think the negotiation would be, we could get Kyrie Irving for Russell Westbrook here. Take the picks and we're going to do it. I think that would be it. To me, that's what would happen. Maybe I'm wrong.
You haven't been watching how the Lakers have been operating.
Well, the Lakers have been operating in that sense because all the talk about Russell Westbrook trades been about for spare parts and then two first-round picks.
I will say this. If they can trade however the picks work out, if they can trade Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving, that is a Hail Mary. As somebody said to me today, people have been trying to force their way to the Lakers for 75 years. I said, no, bro, 76. Because Kyrie is trying to force the way in the 70s, sort of trying to force it. All right. Obviously, we'll talk a lot more about that in the coming days. I really hope we're not going over this for a week, 2 weeks.
Well, we're doing it. We're doing a video pod tomorrow. I have a feeling we'll be talking about it again tomorrow in some form.
I'm not available.
Tonight, I should say. Friday night. Friday night.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
ESPN, in partnership with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions, present The VC Show with 8-time NBA All-Star Vince Carter and co-host Roz Golden-Woody, who talk all things basketball with some of the biggest names in sports entertainment. They will give their unfiltered thoughts on the NBA, and Vince will share his stories from his illustrious 22-year career. That's The VC Show. Listen wherever you get your podcast. Okay. We had a whole bunch of deals go down, several dozen deals. McMahon, is there anything that jumped out to you that we saw in these deals that happened so far?
Oh man, I'm trying to think.
Oh, wait a minute. 30-second timeout. We have trivia. We have trivia, which I forgot to do.
That's a 20-second timeout signal there.
Yeah, sometimes we go for 20 seconds and then we go to the full.
Okay.
All right, pal.
Trivia is brought to you by CarMax on the lot or online and with the home delivery and select markets. We forgot last week.
That's right.
Montemps, you're on the clock.
Now it's time for a Hoop Collective trivia.
From our man Stats Williams, speaking of the guy we've spent half the pod talking about so far, Kevin Durant averaged 29.9 points this season and is about to be traded, presumably. There are three players in the history of the NBA who scored 30 or more points in a season per game and were traded that offseason. Who are those three players?
Well, one of them is famously Moses Malone.
That is correct.
You said averaged 30?
Well, more than Durant. So he averaged 29.9. So 30 or more points in a season, then were changed teams that offseason.
Was Rick Barry one of them?
Incorrect. But all same time frame, though. Players from the mid-70s, mid-80s. Nope. Another good guess, though. Same time frame.
I'm trying to think of...
I know one. I only know him because... He played for the Cavs. I think you might have been Lloyd Free then.
This is the one I never thought you would get.
World B. Free averaged 30 plus 1 year?
30.2 in 1979-80. Went from the Clippers to the Warriors.
On how many shots?
I mean,
I've told my I apologize to our loyal listeners. I've told my World Be Free story before. I'm going to tell it again. Sorry. I like to tell stories over and over. Bonteps makes fun of me. Guess what? So is everybody in my life.
Hey, I tell them on back-to-back podcasts all the time. You call me out for it. So go ahead.
World Be Free once said, it's hard to average 20 in the league. And the reporter said, points? He goes, no, shots. All right, we need one more.
That was the one that was the one Stats was convinced you wouldn't get, and I was.
Kareem. Well, Kareem?
Kareem was the other one.
Oh,
Moses one. Kareem, Moses Kareem, and World Be Free. Very well done, fellas.
Should I tell Bontes that I actually saw it on a television show earlier today? Oh,
Wow, that makes more sense.
I told him that it was because I was a kid. I mean, geez, I was 3 years old when World Be Free got traded. That
makes more sense.
All right. McMahon, any deals that you saw today?
While you're looking, McMahon, I got an answer for you.
Okay, go for it.
To me, the big winners today, beyond anybody who ends up with Kevin Durant, the Philadelphia 76ers. Getting McMahon's old buddy PJ Tucker, getting Daniel House on the biannual exception, who had a really nice year for Utah last year. And getting, you know, they already got De'Anthony Melton. We'll count him as part of their free agency. And getting James Harden opt out and take less money to allow them to get this done. To me, the Sixers are taking a very significant step forward. The Brooklyn Nets are probably not going to be, regardless of however this shakes out, they're probably not going to be one of the four best teams in the East right now. So to me, big win for the Sixers. I think they're a clear top four team in the East. They got a chance to maybe get out of the East. The other winner to me is the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks go in and get DeJounte Murray yesterday, and we talked about it on TV today. I didn't think they were really a team that was in consideration for being a top four team in the East. Assuming the Nets drop down a level, which they're probably going to no matter what, I think the Hawks are in the conversation now for that. And I did really like them going to get DeJounte Murray, I think fits with Trae Young. So to me,
I also don't think that they're done. Teams. I don't think that they're done. John Collins has been heavy out in the trade market. I don't know if they're going to find a home for him that they like. I mean, obviously they could trade him that they like. And now I'm hearing Kevin Herter's name on the trade market, especially after they acquired Murray. So Herter has a new contract that kicks in. I think would he still be base year compensation? Maybe it might be hard to trade.
Do I look like Bobby Marks?
He's on his extension. He's on his extension. So he would not.
You've got more hair.
I was going to say my buzz cut's voluntary. No, the Rockets reunion is a cute little thing. We talked about it before. PJ Tucker is the exact kind of player that they need.
They've been trying to make Eric Gordon happen too, but they haven't quite been able to pull that deal off yet. We'll see if that comes through.
Yeah. That one will be interesting. I do think Gordon will get moved at some point, but that doesn't necessarily mean before the season.
You've been saying that for 6 months.
I know. Right. At some point, they're going to take a first-round pick for him. They've had opportunities. They haven't pulled the trigger yet. And at some point he might be a little more forceful in trying to make that happen.
But like we've talked about, defense, rebounding, shooting, athleticism. Philly got all those things in house, and Tucker and Melton. I mean, Melton's not a great shooter, but
Melton, who was a Rockets second round draft pick originally.
Yep. I think they did a really good job. I really like what they've done. They've made moves that make sense for their team. I think they've taken meaningful steps forward. One of their biggest competitors has taken a meaningful step back. Pretty big win for them today, I think.
Yeah. We've talked about the Brunson thing to New York a lot. So I don't think there's any need to go back over that. Shocker that the meeting with the Mavericks didn't end up happening. I mean, there was so much suspense going into it.
Can I set you up for something, McMahon?
Yeah.
Probably one of the most surprising things I saw come across my desk today was JaVale McGee to the Mavs for 3 years with a player option the third year for the tax MLE. I was not expecting that. It really threw me.
So I knew.
And I know you talked. No, the tax MLE, about 26 bucks six a year. Yeah, I know you talked to him. How did that come about? What's going on?
So I knew they had interest in him. And look, they want, you know, they wanted to, just like we talked in the past about it. At one point, I thought the Mavericks might be a Gobert team because they want rim protection. They want rebounding. They want a big time lob threat for Luka Doncic. What they came around to is, we don't want to pay $40 million for that. Can we get, 50% of the production at, 20% of the price is kind of without having to give up picks to do it. So they targeted McGee, who has history with Jason Kidd, who's an assistant with Lakers when McGee was there. You know, Dudley was on that team. Greg St. Jean, an assistant, was there. So he's got some history there.
I'm listening to this analysis of the poor man's Rudy Gobert that I'm listening to here. Yeah. This is the taxpayer's Rudy Gobert.
Rudy may never talk to that again after that explanation.
All right. 40% of the production. It was funny. I thought JaVale McGee might never talk to me again because during his brief little tenure in Dallas, we had a little tiff when he told me all I needed to do my job was two thumbs. So two thumbs up to the JaVale McGee signing.
But I talked to gold medal winner JaVale McGee.
Well,
that's
three-time NBA champion since then, and gold medal winner.
By the way. Beat Rudy's behind in the gold medal game. I mean, I don't think he got off the bench, but hey, beat the French. So okay. He's got that on.
But I had a pleasant conversation with JaVale tonight. Gave him a call. He picked up.
$20 million will brighten your day.
he'll even answer my call. Probably the most interesting thing during that conversation was JaVale mentioning that he was recruited to be the Mavericks starting center. The Mavericks just traded for Christian Wood. And so I did a little following up. And yes, that wasn't JaVale misinterpreting. He was recruited to have the starting center role for the Mavericks. Now, they might start Wood at the power forward. Christian Wood, who believes he can be an all-star, who is in a contract year. I think bringing him off the bench could be dicey. They might start him at the power forward, but they bring JaVale McGee in, and he won't be a 35-minute-per-game guy. You know, he's going to be somewhere in the 20s probably, but they're bringing him in to be the starting center.
McMahon, let me ask you about something. What's going on with this Jazz-Nets trade with Royce O'Neal?
Well, I tell you what, it was an interesting day.
Hello.
Hello, daughter.
JaVale's calling him back. He wants to...
Rare time I get a FaceTime from my daughter. It was an interesting day for the Jazz. Royce O'Neal was Donovan Mitchell's best friend on the Jazz until they traded for Eric Paschal, who was Donovan Mitchell's best friend since childhood.
What else happened today with Eric Paschal?
They did not extend the qualifying offer to him, so they wave adieu to him.
Who was Donovan Mitchell's choice for coach?
I'll say this. I don't think he had any previous connection with Will Hardy.
Was there another candidate that Donovan might have had a better connection to for head coach?
Johnny Bryant certainly has a very good relationship with Donovan Mitchell. Continues to wear the Spider signature shoes. Was not a finalist for the job. What I make of it is, you know, to sum it up quickly, Donovan Mitchell is no longer calling shots in Utah.
Okay. Rudy Gobert is in trade talks. Will they get a trade done for Rudy Gobert? I don't know. It's a hard contract to trade.
Come on, Wendy. You're going to pretend like you know nothing?
What's going on in Utah?
There are signals that they are cutting costs and perhaps heading toward the rebuild that we...
Why would they trade Royce O'Neal, a valuable role player, for a draft pick? Why would they trade a valuable role player who is close to Donovan Mitchell for a draft pick?
That saves a lot of money. And getting first-round value for Royce O'Neal after a down season, I
don't know what's happening. Something's going on in Utah, man.
Well, they just hired a 34-year-old first-time head coach. And Will Hardy, certainly everybody speaks highly of him, but that's not a move that a team makes if they are trying to make deep playoff runs right now. I think the Jazz are primed for a rebuild, and they have not come out and said as much, but actions speak louder than words.
What does it mean to rebuild?
I can set you up better than that. Y'all remember the last time Danny Ainge hired a coach? Anybody going to answer that question?
Doc Rivers.
That would be incorrect. Danny Ainge hired Brad Stevens in Boston in 2013. What else happened in 2013?
Was that the...
This ain't a hard question, fellas. It's pretty simple. I'm walking you right to it.
Is that the Garnett trade?
They traded their franchise players to the Brooklyn Nets for a billion draft picks.
What is
And they gave Brad Stevens a 6-year contract. Will Hardy got a 5-year contract.
5-year deal.
Just saying.
Hey,
what's going on in Utah? We've been
advising a full blown rebuild for months now, right?
Royce O'Neal trade is a strange trade, buddy.
Yeah, didn't pick up the I don't know if it was an option or non-guaranteed, but they let Bo Cruz go. I mean, another cost cutting.
Hernan Gomez.
Another cost cutting.
Not everybody saw the movie.
Check it out, Hustle on Netflix. Unpaid endorsement.
Something's going on in Utah, man.
Do we want to talk about
what's going on in Utah?
Do we want to talk about Rudy Gobert trade destinations?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, so you gave me a call tonight and mentioned, and we've talked about, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves have been on the hunt for a center. They want to slide Cat to the four, and that we've talked about them as one of the primary.
Cat, by the way, in the next hour is going to be getting $213 million. Congrats to Cat.
Well, he might have a $205 million front court partner in the not too distant future.
Well, we'll see. That deal might not happen.
It might not, but we've been talking about, you know, Atlanta's never really been in the mix for Gobert, despite a lot of I'm going to say rumor, speculation, whatever you want to call it. There. That was something that never really had legs. Chicago and Minnesota. Now, maybe there's can be a mystery team. Maybe Toronto, something ends up happening there. But it certainly seems like Chicago and Minnesota are...
Well, there might be other teams involved. Let me ask you this. If they trade Rudy Gobert, then what?
I don't think it's a win-now move. Look, just go ahead, and you're trying to get me to say something.
I don't know. I'm not trying to get to say anything. I'm trying to say there's something.
Oh yeah,
I'm telling you that Royce O'Neal trade
here's what it kind of feels like to me. It kind of feels like, okay, Donovan, like you want to ask out, go on. You had three guaranteed years left.
They're not done. But we're talking about
everything they can to make him comfortable. Oh, hey, you happy? You know, what do you want to be on the menu? Who where do you want to sit on the plane? I mean, they're done with it.
Feels like a situation where a coach who had won a lot of games over the past several years and is seen as a very highly regarded coach around the league took a look around a few weeks ago and said, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to rest my hip. I'm going to relax. I'm going to wait and get another job. That's what it looks like to me.
So,
I think at this point, remember what Shaq had to say after he won the title in Miami?
What's worse, the possibility of the Jazz entering a long rebuild or those new jerseys?
Oh, man, you're really going after them now. Jeez.
So my stepsons and their little going into fourth grade summer league, they have, you know, the league doesn't provide jerseys. It's just a little informal type thing. So the coach went out and got like the cheapest jerseys we could find. They are bright yellow, little mesh things with black numbers. I call them the Junior Jazz.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I'm not making these things up. That's a fact.
Do they eat lunch together?
every day usually with their iPads on the table not talking.
All right, I think I've gotten myself in enough trouble for tonight. I'm gonna take the weekend off.
No, you're not. We'll see you tomorrow, and you'll be on that way. You gotta get up in the morning
real quick. Can we real quickly, Montemps, go over the Detroit Pistons moves in this usage of their cap space?
Well, the Pistons had a lot of cap space, Brian and Tim, and they used it on Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, Marvin Bagley, and Kevin Knox.
That's not a complete list. They also used it on Kemba Walker, who they bought out.
And well, they did get a first round. They did get Jalen Durham with Kemba Walker. I'm setting that aside.
Yeah.
Those last four guys got one second round pick.
They gave up Milwaukee's pick in that process as well, whatever year it was.
They got Jalen Durham. They got some little second rounders
from the Knicks and some cash too.
$6 million. They got $6 million bucks.
Yeah.
Of course, they're spending $19 million more.
They're spending $6 million on Kevin Knox. It just lit that $6 million on fire.
It was an underwhelming use of a whole bunch of cap space, for sure.
I mean,
I love Detroit's young guys. I love Detroit's young players, but that was some strange spending of money. Strange.
Well,
Knicks, by the way, Isaiah Hartenstein, it's a legitimately nice pickup for them as a backup, as either a starting center or backup center, depending on how it's Mitchell Robinson.
I like the trade. I like the move too, but I got a text from one of my friends who's a Knicks fan tonight, and they know the NBA, but they don't know the NBA to know Isaiah Hartenstein.
I'm surprised. I suspect
I know who you texted you, Brian.
Who the bleep is Isaiah Hartenstein?
I suspect I know who that is.
Oh my gosh, who is Knicks? He? Who's he play for? What position and who's he going to replace?
Wow, the Knicks got better with Jalen Brunson and Isaiah Hartenstein. The problem is they had a long way to go.
Well, this friend of yours, I would say Google, but they might have Googled Evan Fournier last year and not been pleased with the results.
Very afraid of that. I did think that was a good signing, actually. I don't know what that means for Mitchell Robinson, though, who emerged from tonight without a deal. So we'll see what that means. But these are sort of down the line moves. All right. Thank you for listening to the Collective Podcast. Thank you to Jackson and Bruce, our producers. We're going to talk to you on our video podcast that you can watch on ESPN's YouTube channel. It'll come out on Friday or Saturday. You can hear from us after July 4th next week. We're going to delay it to record until Tuesday morning, unless Durant gets traded on July 4th, which we'll have to have an emergency pod.
Hey, well, the first time he changed teams on July 4th. I mean, Russ might have some cupcakes.
Our initial plan to not record over the weekend was before this happened. So who knows what will happen over the weekend now. So we'll at least be back Friday night.
Thank you for listening.
Adios, amigos.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.